Behind us right now, some excerpts from horror movie soundtracks and sound effects from Indonesia, 1971 to 2015, compiled by somebody called Luigi Montiani, a.k.a. Neurotica Exotica. And of course, we heard Lirali's Danube doing the last one from 1970. Vladimir Ussachevsky with four studies for clarinet and Evi, what do you call it? The electronic, I thought it was Iwi, actually, wind instrument, whatever. Party Dozen before that, out of Australia, with Le Cream. Van Halen did Little Guitars from Diver Down, and it was Disintegration at the top of the set, Lost and Found, from a record called Shiver in a Weak Light. My name is Scott. I thank you for joining me today, friends. I look forward to seeing you next week. And on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., actually, for the screening of the Dori Previn documentary with live performance of a bunch of Dori Previn music. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, worldwide online at WFMU.org. Do stay tuned. Mark Hurst is next. Tectonic is coming your way. Bye.
Suki kemari.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'll be your host for the next hour or so. It's a pleasure to have you with me. And I just want to say happy Thanksgiving. Now, you may be listening now or in the future or here or there. So let me say, I hope you are having a good Thanksgiving. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you will have a good Thanksgiving. And choose your verb tense. But I bring up Thanksgiving for this episode. It's certainly topical here in the States, and I suppose in Canada. Canada has Thanksgiving as well, although at a different time. But the season of giving thanks is a big deal here in the States, and it is my favorite holiday. Number one favorite holiday of the year. You don't have to buy anything. I guess you have to buy food, but you don't have to. It's not about buying stuff. It's about, for me, it's about being with family and friends and having some good food and taking some time to think about what you are thankful for or appreciative of or grateful for in your life. Maybe things have happened in the past year that were good, or maybe you look around and say, wow, I like this aspect of my life or something good that's happened to someone I care about. I think it's a great practice, and it's probably, what the self-help books will tell you. You know, gratitude is a posture for life, for every day, not just one season of the year. But at least for Thanksgiving this season, I think I find it a really helpful practice. And in that vein, I thought, for the show today, it would be good to have a little bit of a different approach, because usually on Tectonic, as I've told you before, I'm trying to spotlight people and ideas and news stories that are telling the truth about how technology is affecting us. And the main headlines about how technology is affecting us, digital technology and other technologies these days, the main headlines tend to be negative. They tend to be bad news. Some of them tend to be completely outrageous. Can you believe what this billionaire said or did in the last week? Can you believe what they're proposing? If you want a good example of this, by the way, you can just listen to my interview last week with astronomer Samantha Lawler, and I'm not going to get into the details or which two misbehaving billionaires we talked about. Because that's a different show. This is the giving thanks show. And so, in contrast to most of the Tectonic episodes that you'll hear, I wanted to do something that was totally positive. And I asked you, the listeners, to help me out by answering a very specific question. What is a technology that you are thankful for? Very, very simple question. I ask people to email me. It could be either text or audio. Just tell me and help me understand, where is the good news in tech? How can we bring this attitude of gratitude to our relationship with tech? Again, in contrast to being fearful or disgusted or outraged by so much of the other technology out there, what are some examples of tech that actually helps people, that we're excited about or thankful for or just feel positive about? And I'm happy to say a bunch of ideas came in, a bunch of submissions came in. So thanks to everyone who sent in submissions. I guess they're about half and half. Some of them are in text, which I'm going to read to you, and some of them are in audio, which you will hear. Now, I said in my request for these submissions that the technology did not have to be digital and did not have to be recent, although it could be, you know, if there's a specific website you like or whatever, but it could also be a relatively old piece of technology. It could be offline, analog, and so on. And I didn't count it up, but I would say most
most of them are not recent digital innovations. Some are, you'll hear. It's nice. We got a nice mix. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through some of these. I may have a comment or two after some of them. And if we have time at the end of the show, near the end of the show, I can reveal to you what I'm thankful for. And I have a long list of technologies that I'm thankful for. And some of them are expressed in the submissions that I'm going to read and play for you tonight. So some of them were things that I was already thinking of, and the listeners sent them in, the exact same technologies. But apart from those, there are others that I'm thankful for enough that I could do an entire hour of just giving thanks for various technologies. So, by the way, if anyone suggests to you that Tectonic is somehow an anti-technology show, please play for them this episode, because this show is not anti-technology, and I am certainly not anti-technology in the grand tradition of the Luddites. I am anti-technology that exploits people. I'm anti-technology that harms people. And there are many technologies that are built and designed actually to help people that are not exploitative. There are plenty of examples. Easily could do an hour on that. So I will, in whatever time we have left, I have one or two or three things I could bring up. But I didn't want to just be holding forth myself for an hour. I wanted to hear from you, and I wanted to share your contributions to everyone, because it's Thanksgiving. We're friends. Let's sit around the campfire and share together. And I also want to point out one other thing before I play the first submission, and that is several of these come from WFMU DJs, and I'm so happy to be part of this WFMU family, and so thank you to all of the DJs who sent in submissions. So why don't we actually start with a DJ? This is an audio submission. This comes from Alan from a program called 6 Degrees. You can hear 6 Degrees on Fridays from midnight to 3 a.m. That's Eastern Time here on WFMU. Let's go ahead now and listen to Alan from 6 Degrees and hear what he is thankful for.
Hello, this is Alan from the show 6 Degrees. I am thankful for my power tools, specifically saws like my table saw and my chop saw. During COVID, I was able to build a pretty big outdoor roofed hangout space that really became my little utopia in my loneliness during COVID. And it would have been really hard to do what I did without those electrified power tools. And it definitely made me think a lot about, a lot of the structures and civilizations that people built before electricity and before power tools. Thanks, Mark.
And that was Alan from 6 Degrees. Thank you, Alan. I want to point out that Alan's quote-unquote outdoor roofed hangout space, which he built with his power tools, is pictured on the playlist. You can go to wfmu.org and click playlist and comments, which also and see the photo of Alan's hangout space. You can also join in the live listener chat. On tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm, you can find a playlist link in the future that will show that outdoor hangout space pictured on the page. So thanks to Alan. Why don't we go on to one of the listener submissions? This is a textual submission. This comes from listener herb.nyc. He's a longtime listener and is often on the comment board. Herb writes, "Hi, Mark. I'm most thankful for medical technology. My dad received a triple bypass in 2001. And after my mom had a major heart attack in 2009, she had a defibrillator inserted. Both resumed their normal lives and lived 19 and 13 years longer, respectively, into their 90s. And he says, I miss them both very much. And Herb says, I like to see theater, and a ticket site I use is theaterextras.com. It has let me in to see Broadway and off-Broadway plays at low cost. So here we have a website that's currently active and a larger category of technology, medical technology that helps people. And in Herb's case, you hear it's extended the lives of his parents 19 years longer and 13 years longer. So thank you for that, Herb. That's both of those are really good technologies to be thankful for. This is, by the way, a quick comment about the medical technology. That's something that has come up on past shows where you hear about companies that have made some medical innovation that's going to save lives or they're going to address some disease condition. I'm always in favor of those medical innovations. The problem I have is when some of those innovations then get twisted into other shapes that threaten to become mandatory for people. And here I won't get into rant mode. This is the Tech to be Thankful For show, but I'm thinking of Elon Musk's Neuralink, which has such great promise for people who are paralyzed. But of course, Musk says that he wants it to be a brain chip that people will use to meld with the computer so we can live in an AI-enabled universe or something of that matter. I'm in favor of the medical uses to actually help people. So I appreciate her bringing that up. I am totally in favor of what you said there, Herb. Let's go to a WFMU DJ. This is an audio submission from Dan Morfitt, who has a show called WFMU Lite. That's L-I-T-E. That is on WFMU on Thursdays from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Eastern. And by the way, links to all these FMU DJ shows are on the playlist. Let's go ahead and listen to Dan Morfitt and the technology he's thankful for.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Tectonic. I am Dan Morfitt from WFMU Lite. Thursday mornings, 3 a.m. eternal. What technology am I thankful for? Well, I was born in a weird hinterland, so I straddle both the physical, analog, and the digital media masses. Don't particularly like that fact because, you know, I remember LimeWire and Napster and was excited about this burgeoning future that has wrecked music. However, I lived in that sweet spot and took advantage of the Sony Minidisc. The Sony Minidisc was the greatest technology, and I still use it on every show that I make. It had the portability of a cassette, but the high fidelity of a CD. But it still felt as if you're doing something, because it felt like an old radio jingle cart player. It felt like the modern reincarnation of an 8-track. The mini disc was brilliant. And if you used it at home, you could do high-speed dubbing. If you used it in the field, you could interview anybody anywhere and get some crisp audio before portable hard drives and then solid-state drives became a thing. So thank you, Sony. Thank you for inventing the mini disc. And it never worked out like in Better Days with Ralph Fiennes, did it? It never worked out like that. Ralph Fiennes, you lied about mini-discs. Johnny Mnemonic, on the other hand, wow. Those mini-discs were wild.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dan Morfitt, for that excellent submission. The mini-disc with a couple of movie pointers at the end. And I told Dan, we gotta have an on-air conversation sometime about his favorite dystopian movies, because I remember seeing Lawnmower Man in the theater, and yeah, not even being impressed even back then in that early blush of VR hype. So there are some appearances of mini discs in the cinema that are worth talking about. And interesting that Dan uses the mini disc for the shows that he still does. I have not had any experience with a mini disc. I am sorry to say. I think Dan and I are about the same vintage, but that was one of the things I never saw. But I'm taking your word for it, Dan, that is a technology to be thankful for. So thank you for that. Let's move on to a listener. This is listener Menlin Rebart, who is occasionally on the comment boards. Thank you, Menlin, for writing in. Menlin writes, I am thankful for synthesizers. The myriad of sounds that can be produced with synthesizers brings joy to listeners of countless styles of music, with no end in sight to the creation and experimentation that is possible with these miraculous devices. In a lot of ways, I see the synthesizer as a pinnacle of human achievement that we are still climbing. While so much technology seems to be weaponized against humanity, threatening real disaster upon society, synthesizers will play no small role in our collective liberation. Because, as Fela Kuti proclaimed, music is the weapon of the future. That's a great one, Menlin. Thank you for that submission. I'm with you that technology for making music, innovating in music, spreading music, sharing music. How did you say it? It's the synthesizer as a pinnacle of human achievement that we are still climbing. There is not. I agree with you. I cannot think of how one could make an argument that there is some exploitative use of synthesizers and musical creativity. It's all good. It's all good. So thank you for sharing that. I guess we could throw in a lot of musical-related technologies in a broad category, right? I mean, you could talk about the piano, the guitar, your favorite musical instrument. Those are all instruments of human expression, of creative expression, and that's all good. And the fact that the synthesizer is digital technology makes it even more relevant to tonight's show, because there's a piece of digital technology that is good for people and is doing good in the world. So thank you, Menlin, for that contribution. Let's go to an audio recording from a listener. This is an anonymous listener who is going to refer to a past show and something that he is thankful for. Let's go ahead and listen to this anonymous listener.
Hi, Mark. It's Handy Haversack. Thought I'd send
Oops,
you...
so sorry. That was Handy Haversack. That was not an anonymous listener. We're going to get to Handy in 1 second. Sorry, Handy, to cut you off there. We're going to get to your full recording in a second. This is the anonymous listener. Sorry about that. Here we go.
Today, I'm grateful for video conferencing technology. With video conferencing, I can go to several meetings of Internet and Technology Addicts Anonymous every week. I first heard about ITAA here on Tectonic in June of 2023. It was an excellent episode where someone shared about their tech addiction, and my immediate reaction was, this sounds way too familiar. So today, I'm grateful for video conferencing. There's one in-person meeting of ITAA here in NYC each week, but that's not enough for most people to stay sober, including myself. At first I thought, why would I go to an online meeting for a 12-step program for internet and technology? Isn't that like having an AA meeting in a bar? But as it turns out, no, it's not. It actually works. You really feel present with all these other people who have the same issues, and that feeling of fellowship has changed my life significantly for the better. A lot of the more obscure 12-step groups have benefited tremendously from this technology. So today, I'm clean off Twitter and Blue Sky for 3 months. I haven't used my phone in bed for about 7 weeks. I'm off Reddit for about 20 days, and surprisingly, I didn't see this one coming, I'm off news and politics for about a week.
All right. Thank you to that anonymous listener for that contribution about ITAA. On the playlist, I have posted links to the ITAA episode of Tectonic, which, as the listener said, comes from June of 2023. It's June 12, 2023, and features an interview I did with a member of ITAA. And I also put the domain name for the ITAA website, which is, and I'll just read it out, internetaddictsanonymous.org. That's internetaddictsanonymous.org. That's the homepage of the ITAA, which is essentially a 12-step program for internet and digital technology addicts. But you can read more on the website or just listen to that old Tectonic interview that the listener brought up. So thank you for that. That's and it's interesting that video conferencing is the key for this particular listener. That as he said, it's a little ironic that he's using his computer and getting on a video conference in order to talk about a kind of technology addiction, but it works. And that's video conferencing is a technology that I have been grateful for in the past few years. I remember back in the pandemic, it was a great way to catch up with family and friends when travel was so restricted. And I've kept that up to some extent with family members, you know, on a FaceTime every now and then. It's a great way to be sort of present with people, and it's a big change from the years before FaceTime and Zoom and all of those, when it was just phone calls. So yeah, a technology to be grateful for. That's a nice, it's a nice addition to our technological lives. So thank you to this listener. Let's go on to a WFMU DJ. This is Jeff Golick from a show called Destination Out. This is on the Give the Drummer radio stream Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern. Jeff writes, I have a car-related contribution. For most of the 21st century, I drove a late 20th century automobile, a family hand-me-down. It was decidedly analog. But we upgraded to a 2018 vehicle during the pandemic in 2022. While the lack of knobs and buttons is a considerable defect, I am grateful for the rear camera, which both alerts me to movement back there and allows me to get a micron's width from the car behind me when parking. I'm also grateful for the collision avoidance override, or whatever it's called. This has prevented at least a few crashes, and I feel fortunate for that tech. Thank you to Jeff Golick for that. This is a great contribution, talking about the technology in cars that's actually helpful. Now, we've talked about in-car technology that's not helpful. He referenced the touch screens that are not so great, that are dangerous for drivers to use while they're going 60 miles an hour down the highway. There's also a lot of surveillance technology that's going into cars these days. We've covered that. But it doesn't mean all digital technology in cars is bad. Look at the collision avoidance system. And again, I've talked about this. There was an old show I did with Sam Schwartz talking about the technologies that are measurably helping to keep people safer, to prevent crashes. And one of them is simple collision avoidance alarms inside cars. When you are changing lanes and there's a car that you're about to run into, go beep, 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 you know, that sort of thing. That's a helpful sensor. That's a helpful alarm, helpful use of digital technology. Similarly, as Jeff says, he likes the rear camera when he's parking. These things, these are ways of implementing technology in cars to make people safer, to give people a better experience in the car that have nothing to do with surveilling the driver, the passengers, and exploiting that data. If only we could have a technology industry that focused on the good things. Okay, I'm not going into rant mode. If you are just joining us, by the way, you're listening to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. We are halfway through a show called Tech We Are Thankful For. I've asked listeners for their technologies that they are thankful for. Could be digital, could be offline, and we're going through those now. Why don't we go back to Handy Haversack, longtime listener of the show, who has an audio submission about what he's thankful for. Go ahead, take it away, Handy.
Hi, Mark. It's Handy Haversack. Thought I'd send you my ideas about tech that might actually be good, or at least that I like. And it might be boring, but the piece of tech that I want to extol the virtues of is the printing press. It's a little basic, maybe, and I know that humanity got by for a couple of 100,000 years without it, as far as we know at least, and seems to have done just fine. But, well, the question you're asking is personal, and I, personally, am thoroughly hooked on this one. Sure, there are many, many things that are produced and printed that don't need to exist, or at least I don't think they do, that actively seek to harm, and that's no good. But I'm the sort of person who can't even risk meeting a friend at a bar unless I have a book to bring along. And while different storage media continue to proliferate, and more types of drives and files and preservation techniques churn through the techno-flux, I like to remember that we have proof of 100% information retention after 500 years and more from printed paper. And that's pretty good. I assume there will come a time when industrial capitalism will have eaten its own tail to such an extent that books can no longer be delivered to my neighborhood. And when that happens, I want to have a bunch saved up and ready to see me through the tech-pocalypse. As the dragon told Grendel in That Finest of Things, a book worth quoting, my advice to you, my violent young friend, is to find a pile of gold and sit on it. I might end up squashed under my pile of gold when the bookshelves and book piles finally take over the apartment, but it'll be well worth it. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Handy Haversack. That's a great submission. Printing press and print materials in general. I am totally with you about meeting friends and always having a book handy, so to speak. Always having a book with me just in case there's a wait or maybe the train is delayed. Always have a print book with me. And it's just, actually, the book was one of the technologies that I wanted to say I was thankful for. What a great piece of technology. As you stated, Handy, it's proven to hold on to the information for hundreds of years. And as we've covered in past shows, if you have anything in your digital life, your digital assets, let's say a photograph or an email, a digital letter, a document of some sort, anything that's particularly important to you, print it out right now. Get it on paper because you just don't know what's going to happen to that digital medium, whatever it's on. Could be in the cloud, could be on a USB drive. Most things these days are in the cloud. You don't know what's going to happen to the cloud data tomorrow. Hopefully it'll still be around and find to store things there. But if you want to make sure, if you want to have insurance that it's going to stick around, go ahead and get it on paper. And it's the printing press, as Handy says, that allows us to do that. So three cheers for the printing press, printed materials, books, having a book on your person, and reading books that are worth quoting. All of those I'm totally in favor of. I wanted to return to cars for a second. We played Jeff Golick's, or I read Jeff Golick's submission a few minutes ago about his new car that's digitally enabled and has some good features that he likes a lot. I wanted to say thanks to my parents, both of whom sent in emails with suggestions for this show. My mother writes that she appreciates the keyless car start, you know, that wireless key fob. And she gave several reasons, including number one, she says, I can't lock my keys in the car, which she says did happen before keyless. So as long as you've got that, as long as you got the fob with you in order to lock the door when you leave the car, that guarantees that fob did not get locked inside the car. Good point. Next is, she says, I can open the door from inside the store, especially when it's raining, and then I can just run and jump in. Have you ever had that experience? It's raining, you have groceries, you don't want to fumble around in the rain, getting keys out and struggling, getting rained on the whole time, holding the bag of groceries. Instead, you just beep, beep, unlock the door wirelessly and sprint out into the rain and into the car. Next, she says, if I don't remember whether I've locked the door at a distance, I just press the fob and I can find out. Again, another thing that you could not do when you had a physical keys only, you would have to go back to the car and physically ensure that the door was locked. So that's a good one. And finally, when there is a long line of cars parked in a garage, just press the fob and lights flash so I know where the car is. Great point. I've done the same thing in that long row of cars in the parking garage. Which one was it? Which one? Sometimes I don't even remember which quiet row it was. I know it's around here somewhere. And I'm just start mashing the fob until you hear the dee, 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 and then you see the lights flashing. My father writes, this is not automotive, he's got something around TV. He writes, my favorite tech gadget is the TV remote that allows the user to put the picture on pause, to come back later, and fast forward through tons of insipid commercials. The pre-record feature is nice as well because it allows the same advantage. I'm totally with you. It is so annoying to have to sit through insipid commercials. I love that phrase, insipid commercials. And the DVR technology to put things on pause, build up a buffer, and then just blip, 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 go through. I'm using the old sound effect from TiVo, but I don't think that's as much of a thing anymore. I remember when TiVo first came out, that was such a big deal. That was before all the other DVRs. And man, I watched a lot, I skipped a lot of commercials using the TiVo back in those days. But I guess DVRs have kind of blanketed the marketplace at this point. Is TiVo, is it even around? I don't actually know. I don't have thing is, at home, I don't have cable TV, so I don't have a DVR. But I know a lot of people do, and it works really well, as my dad says, to put things on pause and to click through, to jump through right to where you want to go. So thanks to both my parents for submitting great ideas for the show tonight. Let's move on to another audio submission. This is going to be a really creative one from Jim the Poet. Now, Jim the Poet has a show called Three Thumbs Up. It's on WFMU on Tuesdays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So my same slot, but just a day later. And this show goes through movie recommendations. Jim also has previously had shows called Bad Animals, which used to be on Monday nights, and still occasionally does fill-ins on Showy McShowface. Anyway, Jim the Poet is just generally creative and smart and engaging. I could say a lot of good things about Jim the Poet, but I want him to express his creativity to you with his very interesting submission about the technology he's grateful for. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, this is your old friend Jim the Poet. might remember me from Bad Animals or Three Thumbs Up, or less likely a show called Joey McShowface. Anyway, it's great to be with you, Mark, during the holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to all the listeners. My favorite piece of technology is a little—it's a little tape recorder, a little cassette player. It's an AM/FM radio recorder. I can't get WFMU on this for some reason because I think I dropped it on the street. But it's blue, and it was really inexpensive. And I keep it next to my bed in case, like, I'm having a dream and I'm like, "Ooh, I'm a tiger, but I'm also a taco. There's a taco inside the tiger." And then, you know, that's the 3 a.m. thoughts I usually have. So that's my favorite, the piece of technology that I'm most thankful for is this little cassette recorder, which I'm using right now to talk to you all. Thank you.
Thank you to Jim the Poet. That little AM/FM cassette recorder did great work for the show. I love demonstrating your love for this technology by using it to create your submission. So thank you. Thank you, Jim the Poet. Let me go through a few listener submissions. There were a couple of short ones. We've got listener Tom from Sterling, who's thankful for his push-button coffee maker. And he says a runner-up is running water, always taken for granted, he says. And presumably he uses the running water to fill up his push-button coffee maker, and so it all connects. Thank you, Tom, from Sterling. And listener Morphe has a list. Stove, oven, printing press, there you go, Handy, bicycle, radio, that was one I was going to say, cinema, and internet. And I'm gonna hold off on commenting on that last one. Some days I wake up, read the news, and think maybe the internet was a mistake. But I'm gonna agree with you on stove, oven, printing press, bicycle, radio, and cinema. I like all those. Thank you, Morphe. And let's do one more. Listener String of Perils. That is Perils, P-E-R-I-L-S. Writes, "Hi Mark, these may seem strange things to single out as favorite technological marvels, but life would be very difficult without, first, the common everyday gravity toilet, and second, the vacuum cleaner. I get to live inside an illusion that my immediate world doesn't include massive piles of filth directly attributable to me. It magically disappears. It just goes somewhere. And all of the energy use behind it and the end result of doing it also seem vaporous. Why am I not haunted by this?" Interesting string of perils. It's something to be thankful for, and yet you were bringing up the misgivings, the deep feeling of unease when you really begin to reflect on those technologies. But you know what? I'm with you. I'm thankful for indoor plumbing and vacuums. I am. In terms of the waste, the piles of waste out there, where do they go? Just a quick digression. I want to recommend to all of you, there's a new documentary. It's on Netflix, and I'm not recommending that you go get Netflix, but if you don't have Netflix, go to a friend who has Netflix and watch this documentary. It's called Buy Now. That's B-U-Y Now, colon, shopping conspiracy. Yes, that's right. The shopping conspiracy. So the documentary is called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy. It's about 90 minutes, and it goes into, and it's on Netflix, free, streaming on free. I mean, it's free with a Netflix subscription, and it goes into this idea of waste, how much waste there is from consumer goods, and the kinds of things that consumer goods companies will do in order to hide the waste or convince us that it's not a problem or convince us that they are doing something about it with their greenwashing PR moves. It's well worth watching this, and especially around the time of Thanksgiving and the holidays when these companies are all coming at us and saying, buy more stuff. You can have a viewing party with your friends and family. Just watch Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy. I enjoyed it, and brought that to mind from String of Pearls. So thank you, String. Let's go on to another DJ. This is going to be DJ Olivia from Radio Ravioli. This is a show on WFMU on Wednesdays from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. Olivia is a friend. She was my radio neighbor, as she'll bring up in her comment, for years. She was the host of the show that came just before Tectonic. And I'm really happy to share Olivia's contribution here. Go ahead, Olivia.
Hey, Mark, it's Olivia, your old radio neighbor. I wanted to tell you some tech that I'm thankful for. I decided to keep it decidedly offline, so I'm going with my air fryer. This is an amazing piece of technology that is where the future is headed. It invokes the future. It is magical. I have no idea how it works, and I'm thankful for the scientists who made it possible in my life. Quick, easy meals at my fingertips in days where I just don't want to really be cooking, but I must because I don't want to spend money going out. Anyway, you can cook like potatoes in there. You can cook frozen foods. You could cook salmon, vegetables. You could reheat a pizza. You could cook a hot dog in the air fryer. Have you ever cooked a hot dog in the air fryer? If not, you must put this on your to-do list. Makes it very crunchy and crispy and delicious. It's a wonderful thing, and I'm truly grateful for it, and it's changed my life.
Thank you, Olivia. The air fryer has changed her life, and, you know, as I told her, no one ever described it to me that way, that an air fryer is good for crisping things. I knew it was good for cooking things quickly. I've never actually tried one, but I'd like to, and now I know. Reheat pizza in an air fryer. So that's all good. What's exploitative or deceptive about an air fryer? Nothing that I can find. It's a great piece of technology. These are technologies that are worth celebrating, worth being thankful for. So thank you to Olivia for that contribution. I want to go on to Landfill, who's a DJ for a show called Anti-Music Club. Some of you may recognize Phil's voice, because years ago he worked with me on Tectonic. He was call screener Phil. And by the way, his show now, Anti-Music Club, is on WFMU on Mondays from 3 to 6 a.m. Eastern. Phil is back. He's back on Tectonic, and I'm so happy. Phil, you're always welcome on Tectonic. And let's go ahead and listen to what Landfill has for us, technology that he is thankful for.
Hey, this is Landfill, formerly known as Call Screener Phil, and the technology I'm thankful for is the steam engine. Without it, there would have been no Industrial Revolution or internal combustion engine. We would all just be riding bikes and rollerblading everywhere, not even knowing what greenhouse gases are. I'm also thankful for air conditioning, fiber optic cables, the NVIDIA RTX 3080 Ti, alternating current, the Big Muff, and the Universal Serial Bus. Happy holidays, Mark. Thanks.
Thank you, Phil. And for those listeners who are wondering, the Big Muff is I'm going to say this wrong, but it's a distortion filter for, guitar. And I guess you could use it on other instruments, could you? But it's something that distorts the guitar noise, makes it sound cool. But yes, the steam engine, if we did... I was wondering if you were being a little bit ironic there, Phil. If we didn't have the steam engine, we would all be on rollerblades and bikes and these other sustainable green technologies. but, you know, this is the world that we have. The steam engine kicked it off, right? And here we are with, I'm not going to get into rant mode, but I'll just say that we are running out of electricity in order to train the AIs to spread the goodness of our plagiarism engines. Okay, stop, Mark. We're supposed to be positive tonight. Thankful. Yes, we are thankful for the benefits. There have been some benefits of the Industrial Revolution for sure, and we are thankful for those. So thank you to Phil for that. We're just being thankful tonight. What are the technologies that we are thankful of? By the way, if you have more comments, if this inspires you to say something else, I am not planning on doing a follow-on episode anytime soon, but you can email me if you just want to send me a comment. I'm at mark@wfmu.org. That's mark@wfmu.org. And you can tell me what technology you're thankful for. Let's listen to one more submission, and I think this is all of them. If you sent me something and I didn't get to it, I apologize, but I think I got to all of them. But you can let me know if I forgot yours. This last one is from DJ Perro Caliente from a show called Secret Canine Agents. This is on WFMU Thursdays from midnight to 3 a.m. Eastern Time. And I really like Perro Caliente's show, and I also really like his contribution here. So let's go ahead and take a listen to it. Take it away.
Hello, my name is DJ Perro Caliente, and I'm the host of Secret Canine Agents. And what I'm thankful for is not a piece of technology, but something outside that we can all do. And that is to touch grass. I love touching grass. It feels great. I also like to lay down on the grass and look at the sky. Maybe see a few chemtrails up there. But I don't know. I just feel so happy. It's probably the microplastics that I'm inhaling. But it feels good. It feels great. So yes, I'm thankful for being able to go outside and touch grass. Thank you.
Don't you love the musical accompaniment on that? What a great submission. Thank you, DJ Perro Caliente. Go outside and touch grass. And I know that's a little bit, out of the box here because it's not actually technology, but I think it's important. It's important what he's telling us to keep in mind that the technology that we're thankful for should allow us a life that gets us outside sometimes without any technology. So that, as he said, we can lie in the grass and look up at the chemtrails or look up at the night sky as the Starlink satellites zoom by. But no, seriously, you know, isn't that the point? Isn't that the point that we're supposed to have technology in order to free us up to have experiences that don't involve technology? Although, of course, you can have great life experiences with technology. We've been covering them all hour. But there should be some space for us to put it all away and just be, you know, just breathe, meditate, or look at the sky or whatever. And that, in a way, is a benefit of technology. If we can use technology to make possible those times, those periods of time where we're allowed to do that. So thank you, DJ Perro Caliente, for that. And thanks to all of the listeners, all of the DJs who sent in submissions, emails, and audio recordings so I could share them with everyone. I think this has been a great exercise. And, you know, let me know if you think we should do this next year, assuming I'm on the air next year for Thanksgiving week. Because, you know, Thanksgiving next year is also going to be on a Thursday. And anyway, so that brings us to the last few minutes of the show. And as promised, we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to share with you one or maybe two technologies that I am really thankful for. And I thought about it, and, you know, I'm telling the truth here. When I announced this show and I thought to myself, what's going to be a technology that I'm thankful for? The very first thing that came to mind, number one, was the following. ASCII text, also known as plain text. And I love ASCII text. Let me just give an example. If I'm at my computer and I need to take notes on something, Let's say I need to take notes on an idea I had, I'm on a phone call and for some reason I need to take notes on or on a Zoom. I need to take notes on what's happening on the conversation in the Zoom. For anything that I need to write down on the computer, what do I do? Do I open a Microsoft Word document? Oh, gah. No. Do I open a Google Doc to put something on Google servers for them to have access to? My own writing? No. No, no, no. If I'm taking notes and or writing down an idea for something that I want to hold on to in the future, I open an ASCII text document. And there are lots of text editors out there that allow you to do this. The one I favor, I'm on a Mac currently, and the program I like a lot is called BB Edit. Longtime Macophiles will know this one. They've got a free version of BB Edit, or maybe it's called Text Wrangler, or it's just BB Edit free. Anyway, you can get it from Barebone Software. It's free, and it makes the most beautiful ASCII text files. Now, the thing about ASCII text is that it's a standard that determines the format, you know, how do you represent an A, a B, a C in computer memory? That's the file format. It is not owned by any corporation. Microsoft did not come up with ASCII. Google sure as heck did not come up with ASCII. It was this consortium that came up with it, did not a company, and it's a standard that's used freely worldwide. And yes, I know there are some UTF exceptions for different character sets. I get it, but just go with it. ASCII text is used worldwide for text files. It's owned by no one, and it cannot be bought by anyone. It's not monetizing anything. All it does is sit there and help by being a standard that everybody can use and everyone can make use of. And when you create text, a text file, a plain text file, this is the one that looks like .txt at the end. When you create a .txt file, you know that that format is going to be readable if we have any kind of digital technology in 100 years, and I know it's sometimes questionable, but if it's there, the one format I know will still be around is ASCII text. Gosh darn it, you can keep your DocX files, you can keep your Google Cloud. Let me tell you, you put something on Google Docs, I know you like sharing, you like getting comments from the other people on your team, I get that. But if you just have something that is just for you, that you want to keep around, why in the world would you use Google? Put it on Google's Cloud? You know, there are stories of people, someone does something afoul of the Google algorithm, bam, their Google account is totally shut down. They can't get to any of their files. There have also been instances when cloud software goes down. Storage just goes down for a while. It's always come back in the end, but if you need that file right away, you'd better be a locally accessible ASCII text file. So I'm out of time, but that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for plain text files and the internationally shared ASCII format that is the foundation of all plain text files. We need more technology like this that just helps people and is not for manipulating and exploiting people, but is simply there to help and is owned by no one. It's owned by everybody. It's all of our heritage, and it is going to last longer than anything else that you see coming from the big tech companies. I guarantee it. So thank you to the universe, I guess, for ASCII text. And thank you to you, the listeners, for listening. You can get more information on this show at tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm. And I've got some homework for you for next time. Until next time, friends, I want you to avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, friends, get off Google. I want you to have a very pleasant, happy, healthy, and sociable Thanksgiving, or maybe you already have, with your family and friends, and do a little exercise. Go around the room and ask everybody, what's a technology that they're thankful for? And maybe it's going to be the printing press. Maybe it's going to be the air fryer. Maybe it's going to be the rear view camera on a 2018 car. And maybe it's just going to be the ability to go out and touch grass. Whatever it is, be thankful, friends. And we're going to go out this evening to a song suggested by Brother Daniel Blumen. It's by Human Error. It's a great song called Going to Town. Have a great week, everybody. WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
And that sound means it's time for this week's installment of It's Complicated, an hour of Prague and Prague-adjacent music, except this week it's 2 hours of Prague and Prague-adjacent music. DJ Stashu, who follows this show at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, is under the weather, sorry to say. She's fine, but under the weather. Basically, she has laryngitis, which is really a showstopper, you might say. And we wish her a quick recovery. But she will not be able to do her show tonight, so I'm here for 2 hours. I'll be here from my usual slot, of course, 7 to 8, and then the following hour, 8 to 9. So 2 hours of this. And thanks for joining me. My name is Dave Mandel. I am the host of this program, and as always, just delighted to be here playing music for you tonight. I'm going to start the show with a short one. This is going to be a track from a group called Patto, P-A-T-T-O, and there is the band is named after the leader of the band, a guy named Mike Patto, who was the singer, and the band contained a few people who became pretty well known in later years, namely Ollie Halsall, guitarist, John Halsey, who played later with the Ruddles, among many others. So this is a group, Patto, and we're going to hear a track, as I said, pretty short one, from, well, the recording was made in 1973, but far as I know, it was never released for whatever reason. This album, which was called Monkey's Bum, by the way, bum, of course, has a different meaning in England than it does to us Americans. Monkey's Bum was recorded in 73, but as far as I know, never saw the light of day at all until 1995, many years later, 25 In fact, no, 22 years later, my math is a little wanting tonight. So a song called I Need You from the group Pato, led by singer Mike Pato, and I'll be back right after this. Wow, the group Pato, I feel compelled to pronounce it the English, sort of English way, so you can hear there's a couple of T's in the middle there. It starts out as, you know, kind of a straight country song, a fast country song, and goes into other territory with synthesizers and really some really hot shot playing. Pretty proggy, in this DJ's opinion. Pato, I Need You. With, again, drummer John Halsey, later with the Ruddles, among other bands. I'm going to play something a little bit longer now and different. Well, different, but similar, maybe. I'm going to play a guy named Zugs Rift, who some of you will be familiar with. Zugs Rift, who died, sadly, in 2011, I think is when he died. He was born in New Jersey, but moved to L.A. when he was young, and basically during his entire musical career, as far as I know, lived in L.A. And a real wild man, and of course I say that with the greatest admiration, really crazy, crazy composer and musician, as you'll hear, crazy in a good way. And so I'm going to play a track from, I'm going to play a track from the album Idiots on the Miniature Golf Course, Zugzwift. And you'll hear a lot of Zappa, I would say, in this, and also probably a lot of Captain Beefheart, but that's enough spoilers. This will be a track called, I keep losing my place. I'm going to play a track called A Peaked in the Devil's Secret Hell Files from Zugzwift.
I peeked in the devil's secret hell files. It found a list with names a mile